Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. It's Tuesday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the new blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so be on the lookout for a new one of them tomorrow morning. But, of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link. Get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with 3 E's.
Yeah, I was thrown off there for a minute because I was on the Mickey Mouse website, and I misread something, and they only had the guy's last name up there, and I swear to God it said that Louisville hired Tyga as their interim athletic director, and the guy's name was Tyra. I just misread it, so I was really off there at the start. Oh, but all right. Well, you know, I looked into FanDuel, and they have the thing where you can combine today's games and tomorrow's game. I didn't want to do it because I don't know what the hell the starting lineups are going to be for tomorrow night. So I just bailed on it. I didn't even want to spend the nickel on it to do both. It just seemed like a waste of time in case if you hit one guy who's not going to play and have to eat a zero, it's just not worth it to me. So I gave up on that and just moved along. But of course, tonight is the AL wild card game. And here's the lineups, Dan, if you haven't seen them. Minnesota, of course, the visitor. Irvin Santana will do the pitching for them. They have Brian Dozier leading off at second. Joe Mauer batting second at first. Jorge Polanco is third at shortstop. Eddie Rosario in left field batting cleanup. It's Eduardo Escobar at third base hitting fifth. Max Kepler hits sixth in right field. Byron Buxton is seventh in center. Jason Castro is catching tonight in eighth. And then Robbie Grossman is the DH tonight, hitting ninth for them. The Yankees are going with Luis Severino as their pitcher, and their lineup looks like this. Brett Gardner's leading off in left. Aaron Judge bats second in right field. Gary Sanchez is catching, hitting third. Dan's guy, Didi Gregorius, is hitting cleanup at shortstop. Starlin Castro is fifth at second. Greg Bird is first, playing first, hitting sixth. Aaron Hicks is in center field tonight, hitting seventh for the Yankees. Jacoby Ellsbury is going to be the DH. He hits eighth. And Todd Frazier hits ninth for the Yankees. And, of course, he'll play third base. So there you go, going into tonight, your lineups. Whose lineup you like better, Dan?
I don't know. I kind of like the Yankees, but I'm not sure that I – like Severino.
Yeah, it's, I think he was their best pitcher this year. You know, overall, I'm a little surprised they didn't go with Tanaka, especially coming off his last start. But, you know, just kind of their decision. Interestingly, I was surprised that the Twins did not have Miguel Sano on the wild card roster. I know he just came back from injury, but even if he's on the bench as a threat to pinch hit, you think they possibly could have went that route. The game is scheduled to start, they say 7:00, which means what, probably 7:15. Sadly, that means I don't get to see the end of it, but hopefully, it's a good game for the short time I can watch it.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of leaning with the Yankees lineup. They seem to have more of the heavy hitters. but you know,
Yeah, you know, it
small ball.
looks like it. Would you change your mind if I told you that the Twins average scoring more runs per game than I think anybody else in like the last month of the season?
Wow. That definitely does add to it.
So yeah, it's, you know, I mean, I don't know. It seems like everybody's kind of going the Yankees way, and I know they've had a, you know, a dominance over the Twins going back many years when it comes to, you know, when it comes to the playoffs. But it, you know, it's been a long time since these teams have matched up, and you know, I honestly don't think that really matters. So, you know, we'll have to see. But yeah, hopefully it's a good game and they don't jerk around too much and stretch it out, so I actually get to see you know, get to see some of it.
Nope, they're gonna do the memorial from 7 to 8, and then the game will get started.
Yeah, well, you know, that's my fear. I mean, I know it's bad enough the commercial breaks are already longer. You know, being that it's the playoffs, they want to squeeze in those extra sponsors. You know, no matter how much baseball or anybody talks about, you know, how long the games are, come October, none of that matters. You know, they want that playoff money. So they're gonna get it from their advertisers. So yeah, I'm, you know, I honestly don't know. I mean, depending on how it goes, I may only get to see a couple innings if they actually get rolling at a decent time, because it's gonna be slow moving. I really have a feeling. But so
We'll see
you're
what
gonna pick
happens.
the Yankees? You think the Yankees get the win in the end here?
Yeah, I'm going with it. I'm going with the Yankees.
Yeah, you know, on the plus side, Dan, at least I don't have to listen to Michael Kay because it's a Mickey Mouse Network game. So
Well, I
I have
mean,
that going for
you could always watch it on Roku TV and put on the radio broadcast. Or no, he's part of the
Yes, I could.
Last night. Well, he's part of the
Yeah,
Lifetime
I would
Network.
have to get the guy. Yeah. Yeah, I don't. Does he? Does he? I don't know. I don't think he works radio games on in the playoffs. So yeah, I'm just kind of.
No,
Sadly, I'm gonna miss
not at
the
all.
Michael Kay experience, which is horrible. Just terrible, Dan. I don't know what to do with myself since I won't be able to hear him. That'll make me incredibly sad, and I might not even watch the game at all because it would crush me. So
Well, either
now, you know,
way,
are you along the lines, you know, I heard a lot of guys thinking that we're gonna get a big time offensive game tonight. Are you buying that? I mean, I'm hearing guys saying we're going to get like a 6-5 game or a 7-6 game. Are you along those lines, or do you think we'll get more of a 2-1, 3-2 type of game, being there's probably going to be some nerves and it's a playoff game?
I think we'll get a little bit more, you know, bigger runs. Maybe not 7-6, but you know, definitely 4 or 5 runs for both teams. And, you know, with Severino
Not
at the
going to be
end of
four.
third.
Not going to be 14-13.
No, it'll be 10-9. Everyone will hit a home run, and one guy will hit two.
Yeah, so you know, I don't know. You know, it'll be interesting to see how it kind of plays out. You know, I get it. Everybody's rooting for the Yankees because they want the, you know, the big market team in there, and you know, it's important for the Yankees to win. So I get that. Every television network who's going to cover any kind of AL playoff game or World Series wants to see the Yankees win. So, you know, I think that's kind of why I'm just kind of rooting for the Twins just because of that. So, you know, I have
No,
no problem with watching stuff get followed up.
I mean, I can go either way. You know, I watch the game no matter what, but it's just hard to go against them when you're looking at Judge, Sanchez, Gregorius, and Castro. I really, you know, and I think that's
Oh.
a little bit too much of the fandom, though. You know, because
No.
you know, I just like that lineup.
The next stop will be.
admit it, you're just rooting for the Yankees because Batting Judge second, where he belongs, right?
Exactly. You know, your power hitter should always bat second.
Yes, we need a guy with 52 home runs batting in the second spot, because that's where they belong. So, you know, that's just how it goes in baseball today. But, you know, there were some other interesting announcements that came out as far as baseball and the playoffs. But the one that really jumped right out at me is, obviously, you know, the Indians are going to get the winner of this game. And I saw today that they've set their rotation, and Dan, they're actually going to go with Trevor Bauer in game one, then Corey Kluber in game two, and Carlos Carrasco in game three. Their reasoning for this is they want to keep Kluber on his regular rest, and then he would be eligible for a game five if necessary. Do you like the Indians taking that chance? Because, I mean, you know, we've seen Bauer in the playoffs last year, and let's face it, he was hot and cold. Would you take the chance and pitch Kluber, you know, one game or one day early, or are you like this gamble here?
Well, I like the strategy. I think they're kind of sticking to what brought them there, and you know, why mess it up now? Why mess up a good thing?
You know, and now, do you think they did this because they're facing the wild card team? And, you know, in reality, technically, you know, Santana and Severino are their team's number ones. So they won't have to, it'll be game one of the AL, you know, DS, but they're not going to be facing a number one. They're going to be facing a number two. Do you think if they were playing an Astros or a Red Sox where they would see Verlander or Sale, it would be Kluber in game one?
Ooh, you got me on that one. I think if it was Sale, yes. I think maybe you can go with a gamble on Verlander. I know he's pitched well, but I think you'd have a better opportunity to, you know, get off of him. But then again, Sale surprised us.
That's going to be the matchup in the other ALDS game. The Astros announced today that they're going with Justin Verlander on Thursday. Dallas Keuchel is going to be number two, so it will be Verlander and Sale in that game. So. But, yeah, I thought that was really interesting. And then the other thing is the Nationals are really kind of being mum on what they're doing with Max Scherzer. Now, you know, of course, they don't have to announce anything. The game is not till Friday. Scherzer came out today and said he definitely plans to pitch in the NLDS. Of course, he didn't say which game. Do you see him being the game one guy, or do you think he ends up being, you know, a day back and he's game two, or, you know, God forbid, even maybe game three?
It's hard to say. I mean, you're pretty solid going with Geo or Strasburg. So, you know, I think, though, you might want to go with him first, take the pressure off the other guys.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously, I mean, it's going to depend how his health is. You know, it's just, you know, does he need an extra day? How does it kind of work out? But, yeah, I you know, I'm a little, well, yeah, I can't say I'm all that surprised that they're, you know, maybe keeping it under wraps to make it, you know, I don't know, sneaky or a surprise or however you want to look at it. But I was just kind of like, oh, that's interesting. They haven't really updated anything.
No,
so,
for a second, you know, a guy I work with brought up, and this is, you know, kind of something that's more a little bit of a fandom talk, but he's heard, you know, Cub fans and that really want to stick it to the Nationals because of Dusty and not so much because of the quality of the team you've got going there. I mean, you know, I mean, I don't know. I'm pretty much over it being a Cubs fan. Sometimes I even forget that Dusty was the manager, and I really don't hold a huge grudge on it. I just don't think it really matters at all, especially with the World Series championship under this team's belt. I mean, do you hold any merit to it, or, you know, have you talked to Schaumburg about it?
Yeah, you know, oddly, that's one of the things Stu hasn't really brought up. You know, and you'd think if anybody held a grudge, it would be Stu. But yeah, I haven't heard that one. I mean, I guess it is possible that, you know, there are some longtime Cub fans who would, you know, who would fit in that bill. They would be, you know, the guys that are, you know, oh yeah, you know, Dusty had a good team and should have won it here. We shouldn't have to wait that long. But, you know, it's just one of those things that just kind of didn't work out. So.
Oh, yeah. Don't know. I just thought it was kind of funny. I mean, even if you think about it, from, you know, the Ricketts all the way down to Tommy La Stella or Ian Happ, there's not a single guy, I think, in this organization since Craig Kenny that was around when Dusty was around.
Yeah, you know, that's the one difficult thing. I mean, it may be something the fans are thinking about, but I guarantee you the team has zero clue whatsoever on, you know, what's going on with Dusty or any of that stuff. I'm willing to bet there's guys on the Cubs who don't even realize that Dusty managed the team. So,
Yeah, I mean, I think it could be different
you know,
if,
that's
you know, if when he went to the Reds, he, you know, took the Reds to knock the Cubs out and then did it here in Washington again. But I mean, there's really no grudge to stand on, I guess.
yeah, you know, I mean, it's interesting. And again, you know, like I said, you'd have to be you know, a long time older Cub fan to kind of, you know, really dig into that one. That's a tough one to get behind, but it, you know, it's interesting.
Well, I guess would you equate it to the guy who's mad at Dusty and wants to take it to him is the same guy who's still mad at Bartman?
Yeah, you know, I there are those guys still out there, you know, that are upset with Bartman. You know, I believe they honestly think the Cubs were going to win the World Series that year. I don't
I think they, yeah. I
quite
mean, I know
get
they
it.
could have, but you can't change it. Kind of, you know, kind of sticking in the same little realm. When Chris Sale was here, you know, he was the best thing to happen to the White Sox. But once he was gone, you know, it did, as far as the business side of it goes, it did work out better for the White Sox. But at the same token, it was, I thought, pretty funny to hear longtime Sox fans. Both media, you know, Chicago media and friends that I have that were so hard on him when he left and were very happy because of, you know, one crazy incident outburst and because he cut up some jerseys, all of a sudden he became, you know, more of a nuisance and a bad clubhouse guy and they were happy to see him go. Even though if they would have made that trade without the jersey cutting, I think they would have been crying.
Yeah, I don't think there's as many guys on that bandwagon as the media thinks there is. I really think that one is just a little more media driven because they were upset with him. You know, I honestly don't think the fans at all cared that he cut up jerseys or, you know, that kind of stuff and ended up being suspended for a game. I'm willing to bet there probably wasn't more than one or two fans that were actually upset by that. I mean, I know I didn't care. So,
Yeah, I thought it was funny.
you know, yeah, you know, it was just one of those things. I mean, you know, he didn't want to wear the uniform and he took it into his old, you know, into his own hands. So, it's just one of those fun things. So, we'll have to see how, we'll have to see how they feel if and when the Red Sox do anything in the playoffs. I think that's always a bigger, a bigger kind of landscape type of thing. How did they do? How do you react? I mean, obviously they wanted to win a World Series here with them. That wasn't going to happen. So yeah, I think they'll probably end up being happy for him if he does, though.
No, I mean, I don't mean to switch it up because with the way baseball goes, we'll have every day for the rest of the week to talk about the upcoming series. I know you probably didn't get to watch a whole lot of it, but I was kind of laughing that ESPN went back on their decision to not show the national anthem, and then giving your quick comment on that. I don't know how far you were able to watch it, but do you think the jinx, the curse, was on last night with us?
I didn't even make it to halftime last night, so I didn't get to see a whole lot of the game. I didn't realize, I saw your post that you put up at Sports Time, at the Sports Time Radio Facebook page that, of course goes out through all our stuff on how, they had decided they weren't going to show the national anthem. That was it. And then they did. Is that what happened? They ended up showing it anyways.
Yeah, I mean, there really wasn't much else on. So while I was doing whatever I was doing, I think, I had it on and I just kind of laughed to myself, but they ended up airing it. I mean, I think things changed after what happened in Vegas, but I just thought it was funny.
So yeah, I think I mentioned yesterday, I'm kind of over this, whole thing. So to be honest, I didn't have it on when they were playing the national anthem. So I don't know,
Well, to be honest, I mean, I knew it was coming
what they did or what they didn't do.
up. I thought they were going to commercial break. I just kind of assumed they were going to
Yeah.
commercial break and we'd be back to the game. But it was an interesting game. Like I said, I don't know how much you've seen of it, but obviously the Chiefs kept, their record intact. They're the only team without a loss. But they seemingly didn't play as strong. Their defense picked it up in the fourth quarter, which kind of annoyed me because it edged me out of my fantasy win for the week. Yep, good old 3 points. So that annoyed me. But I mean, is Kansas City as good as they have been, or is Washington much better than we think they are? I didn't think Washington was going to be. They were kind of on fire. They were, Cousins was doing a great job. He's a very mobile quarterback. I think something that the Bears would like. I know we won't go there, but it was. I was pretty surprised by the way the Washington's offense was kind of taken off last night, and how Kansas City's defense really couldn't. They kind of got them in the end, but they weren't really keeping up with them.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to the NFL, what I'm realizing about this year is that I just don't know anything. It's just that simple. I mean, there looks to be a ton of parity, which I know the league likes. I mean, there are a few bad teams. Obviously, the Browns still stink. The Giants still stink. I know San Diego, or excuse me, lo the Los Angeles Chargers, I keep doing that, are 0-4, but I think they're a better team than that. I know San Francisco is 0-4, but I think they're a little better team than that. The rest of it, I mean, you could literally throw them in a barrel, mix them up, and who knows who or what you're gonna get. I mean, from week to week, so much changes. you know, that I almost hate to make a judgment. I mean, maybe it was just one night and Washington played good and Kansas City wasn't at 100%, or maybe Kansas City was overlooking them a little bit because, you know, Washington was just 1-2 and 1 coming into the game. They hadn't played, you know, anybody spectacular, where Kansas City had beaten some, you know, some what we thought were quality teams. So, you know, there's kind of a lot that goes into it. And, you know, again, like I said, I am obviously incredibly stupid. So I don't know, you know, if, you know, 6 of 1 or half dozen of the other, you know, on how it kind of worked out. But, you know, we'll see. I think, yeah, Kansas City's playing Sunday night at Houston. You know, Houston's just coming off, you know, they put up 57 points last week. So, you know, maybe that's a bigger test. I mean, you know, like I've been, you know, looking at the schedule a little bit and, you know, like we got the Jets at the Browns. That would have been a game I thought the Browns could win, but not anymore. You know, they're back to just being a complete embarrassment in, you know, the NFL. The Chargers play the Giants, so somebody's going to get their first win. You would think it would be the Chargers with the way they've been playing, but, you know, you just never know. The Raiders have to go 2 to 6 weeks without Derek Carr. They should still beat Baltimore, who's been kind of a joke. But again, who knows? You know, I mean, you just kind of look at it. And, you know, like we talked a little bit about it yesterday, you know, the Bears fans got their wish. You know, the Biscay's going to lead them on the field Monday against the Vikings. And, you know, he's going to take them to victory. So.
Straight to the Super Bowl. They're going to go. How many games left?
well, they've played 4, so they got 12 left.
Yeah, 12 and
so they'll
up.
Be 13-3. Yeah, they'll be 13-3 headed into the playoffs. So, and while we are on the Bears real quick, Danny Trevathan had his meeting with the league, and they reduced his suspension to 1 game. No surprise there. So, you know, that was just kind of what we thought we were going to get. But yeah, you know, I'm so lost when it comes to who's doing what in the NFL. And, you know, like if you told me the Patriots were going to be 2-2, I probably would have laughed at you. But, you know, their defense looks like a shambles. So. You know, it's just so you know, so difficult to figure out. Yeah, you know, the only thing that, I mean, I think anybody knows is the Chiefs have been the best team so far. You know, will it stay that way? Who knows, you know.
Well, and that's why I was wondering if, you know, maybe their defense is starting to come down a little bit. Or, you know, like you said, they could have overlooked and played down to their opponent.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, it's always possible, you know, how it goes. You know, and I mean, that's kind of, you know, kind of the NFL. You know, I jumped on the Jacksonville bandwagon last week. I thought they would just mop the floor with the Jets. I liked them so much. I had Blake Bortles as my FanDuel quarterback. I thought this was going to be a big opportunity for him to go out and put up some big numbers. And boy, man, they couldn't have choked any worse. So, you know, I mean, you got to wonder, did they play down to them and it ended up costing them a game?
Yeah, Matt Forte isn't even playing.
Yeah, but Bilal Powell went for like 150 yards or something in the game. So, I was on the wrong side of that game. I would have been better off with the Jets, you know, some of the Jets offensive players. You know, but now you turn it over and you got to wonder, can the Jets carry that into Cleveland now? You know, I mean, obviously Cleveland hasn't impressed anybody. They got blown out last week by a terrible Cincinnati team. So, but, you know, it's kind of like, oh, okay, so now we're on to this, but will it happen again? You know, I mean, with the way this year is going, Cleveland could easily beat them. You know, and they probably will if we all take the Jets to win that game next week. You know, you never know.
I mean, after 4 weeks, if I've learned anything, it's yeah, I'm not doing any fantasy or, you know, daily money fantasy football, because it's the few freebies I've had just blown up in my blew up in my face. Well, not even the freebies. What were we doing? Quarters and nickel type deals. So those were just blown up in my face. And you know, even with the picks, you know, here I'm thinking I've got it all figured out. And, you know, I use my search on Bing and, you know, kind of go with the percentages, but I don't always go with, you know, Bing's percentages. It's who they think's going to win, kind of weigh it in with combination of my gut, what the record's like, and kind of what I know about the team. And, you know, and then you guys, Mr. Fantasy, and you wait until Sunday to put your picks in. And, you know, it makes me Sunday after I look at it. This one I was a little busy. I didn't check any NFL this weekend. But side story, I learned my yard is a lot bigger than I anticipated, and it took a really long time to cut the grass. But it happened. I'm sure you missed that one. But regardless, you know, I kind of take a look at your guys' picks and my picks, and I'm like, oh, okay, we're kind of on the same. Kind of on the same wavelength, and you know, Mr. Fantasy Football is what we should really call him. And we're all just blowing it. I mean, I went through and checked all the games off, and it was like cross, cross, cross. We just, like you said, what do we, you know, you said you lost like all the day games, and I think I only beat you by one on those day games.
Yeah.
Because I went the other route with, I think, like the Rams or some weird team. It's just been a crazy season. I don't really know what to make of it. And you've got to wonder, with all their silent protests and unity and whatever they're doing, how much of this is being a distraction from the team, you know, to them.
So yeah, I, you know, again, when it comes to the NFL, I am just so freaking clueless, you know, like, but oddly, you know, this is what they want. They wanted parity, and they seem to have gotten parity, because I mean, it's turning into, you know, anybody can pretty much beat anybody.
Yeah. Well, would you say it all started with week one? You know, I don't want to say it was just completely our jinx that put the wheels into motion, but I don't think the entire nation of NFL fans, I highly doubt, except for KC, that everyone, you know, I think everyone was going for the Patriots.
Yeah, well, remember, there was talk of the Patriots going 16-0 during the preseason.
Yeah.
You know, that was some of the rumors out there, was this team was supposed to be so good that they could go 16-0, and obviously that went away immediately because they got beat on the first Thursday night, and they got beat badly. You know, I know it was a game for a little bit, but late, you know, KC ran away from them. So yeah, it seemed to start right out of the gate. You know, here you go, here's week one, and we're gonna screw you up right from the start. So.
All the bookies made their money that night.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, definitely. So. Oh, but all right. Well, Dan, I don't know if you saw this one, but switching sports here, the NBA announced changes to the All-Star format. All right. Are you ready for this? They're going to do it's no longer East versus West. They are going to do the two captain deal, who will select from a pool of players to participate. Let's see. It says 12 players from each conference will continue to take part in the game, but the player from each conference with the most fan votes will choose their team from the remaining 22 players, regardless of whether they're east or west. So it looks like we're going, the top two guys are going to be the captains. And then the next 22 guys, the next 22 top vote getters are going to be the other all-stars. You like this?
I like it to a point, because the technically you said 22, so subtract 14 of that, because each coach gets to pick seven reserves.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's basically, you know, I think this, obviously, there's going to be two captains. Who do you think the captains are going to be? I'm going to throw
a
shot
at Bart. Yeah, obviously, yeah.
Yeah. Put the blindfold on me, Big Jack. Spin me around 75 times, and I will throw the two darts, and they will land on two guys, and that's LeBron James and Steph Curry. And, you know, I just hope that the coach of LeBron's team picks Kyrie Irving to be on their team. I think that would be fun.
Yeah, it definitely, it's setting up so they can get Steph against LeBron. The sad part is no matter how you change this All-Star game, the players aren't going to care.
No.
So, you know, it's still going to be, the score is still going to be in the 160s. Nobody's going to play defense. And I'm not going to watch because I don't care.
No, and then
so,
what it really does is it's a ratings graph for TBS.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure you fully read the article I picked up on it earlier today off of Bing while I was collecting my points. And I thought it was hilarious because they already have the schedule for when all this stuff's going to be announced. So, you know, obviously off the top of my head, I'm going to throw it at you. If you want to figure it out and, you know, join in on the ratings, Brad, go ahead. But essentially, you know, we're going to get announced the captains, and he's going to pick his team, I think, and then the coaches do their pick. I think that's how it's going to go, and it's all going to be televised. Where, I mean, for me, you want to make it really cool. I think this would be the most fun part of the All-Star game, and then we could just tune off because, I mean, let's face it, Big Jack, I really don't want to watch the hour-long introduction with Pharrell Williams or, you know, whoever they pick, because it always seems to be that guy, you know, doing this hour-long performance where we bring out the guys. I mean, hell, why not just make it, you know, the game, the pregame starts at 6, and at 6 o'clock you've got Steph on one side, or no, you know, Steph and LeBron in the middle, and you've got 22 guys lined up, and they just kind of bing, 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 bing. I think that would be fun.
Yeah, you know, I think they should shoot for it like we did on the playground. You know, if you make it, you go one way. If you miss it, you go the other way. So,
oh, that's not a bad idea. I don't know, but
you know,
I think they're going to do this. It's going to draw some, you know, spark a little bit of interest because it was going to be different. You know, Deion Sanders will be there to make all the picks for everybody next year. And then how long do you give this? 5, 10 years, and
not,
then you go back to...
Not, I don't even think I give it that long.
Back to the thing, and then they make it count. Well, do you think they'll do the Major League Baseball thing where they try to make it count?
That'll be the next thing. You know, and the sad part about all this is, you know, this is just all a ripoff of what the NHL started, and nobody gives the NHL any credit for it. You know, I'm trying to remember, the NHL started doing this, I think they did it 3 or maybe even 4 years ago. You know, and then they changed the format to what they have now, which really helped their All-Star game. I don't think the NBA could do anything like the NHL did to make people actually interested again. But, yeah, I just find it humorous because, you know, the NHL did it, then the NFL did it. And now basketball has finally come around to it. But, I mean, we've seen the guys picking their teams before, and I mean, it's,
It doesn't really do
you know,
anything.
why, you know, why, yeah, why is it interesting? I mean, I guess, okay, it's kind of neat at first where you're like, oh, well, it's Steph and LeBron, or it's KD and LeBron. Who are they going to go with? I mean, what may be the best thing for everybody? Imagine if it's Curry and Durant, picking against each other. Then how do they divide up their Golden State teammates? Would Durant take Klay first, and then Steph would have to take Draymond Green? So that would be that would make for more of an interesting type of setup. But yeah, it's been done. It's just kind of like, okay, whatever. Whatever it is. It's like, yeah, okay, great. I mean, it's again, it's not going to make the game any more watchable. So, it's like, hey, great. Let's go with this and see. Maybe they can draw, some fans in to watch the draft. Maybe that would help out a little bit, but I, again, it's not going to change, the way the game is played. It's just, when somebody lights it up for 160 points, we'll just be going like, oh yeah, okay, no surprise there. Or when somebody finally breaks the 200 mark, which I think we've been waiting for, it's like, hey, oh, look at that. They scored 200 points in an all-star game. And yeah, that's just not really the best thing for the game. So, but hey, if they think it is, I mean, it's no big deal getting rid of the East versus West setup. I mean, everybody thinks the West is superior anyway, so it's not that big of a deal. So, to look at and, who knows? But yeah, like Dan said, it would be interesting. I mean, would LeBron James draft Kyrie Irving if he was the captain of a team? So, how do those things kind of work out? So, it's just all kinds of fun. But there are some, I don't know, I can't call them interesting preseason games, but there is a Houston Rocket against the Oklahoma City Thunder tonight. It says versus, so I don't know where they're playing the game. I'm betting it's one of those games that the NBA kind of takes on the road. It actually should have started already. It's got a six. They've got it as a. Oh no, they do have it as a 7 o'clock start. Originally, they had it as a 6 o'clock start. But this is the debut of Chris Paul in his Rockets uniform, and then Carmelo Anthony and Paul George for Oklahoma City. Russell Westbrook's not playing. But the other two guys are, so you could get a look at them if you're a Thunder fan, or if you want to see Chris Paul in a Rocket uniform. Again, it is just preseason. The Bulls also play tonight. I don't know if they're on here locally. They're in New Orleans to play the what are the, what's New Orleans now? They're the Pelicans. So yeah, they took that name, and Charlotte is the Hornets. It's been like that for a few years. You think I would remember? So the other games, the Nets are at the Knicks. That should be exciting. And then there is a second game on NBA TV tonight if you want to watch the Phoenix Suns at the Portland Trail Blazers. But obviously, yeah, the marquee grab is the fact that you can see Chris Paul, Carmelo, and Paul George all playing, in their for their new teams, not in their new teams, but for their new teams, I guess, in their new uniforms. So. But then the Cavaliers came out and made I guess we'll call it interesting announcement already, because this is something teams don't normally do. But they announced their starting lineup more or less, and it's going to feature Derrick Rose and Dwayne Wade in the backcourt, which I believe Dan and I talked about the other day. LeBron James is going to be the three, or what would technically be the small forward. Jay Crowder is going to be the starting four, which would be again power forward, and Kevin Love was announced as the starting center. That bumps Tristan Thompson to the bench. So a bit of an interesting move or setup, but it is kind of what you would look at as like the new look NBA. Dan, you like that Cavaliers starting lineup? Is that enough to compete with the Warriors in the finals?
I guess if you don't need rebounds, right? You don't need to get rebounds
Yeah,
anymore.
who needs? Well, Kevin Love can rebound. He still can get some rebounds, but
So he'll get defensive rebounds, just not offensive rebounds.
Yes, that's what he's going to be doing. So.
That hole will be open for LeBron to either, do his magic in the middle or pass it off to Love on the perimeter, right? So it goes. I don't know. It's so hard because it's technically the center, but the way the game is played now, your power forward almost seems to become the center. So it's like, why don't you just get rid of the name or the
Yeah.
position? And just go, we've got five guys, five starters, five positions. I don't know. I guess you need the positions for when you create your game plan. I don't know. But like you said, it's
Well,
interesting that.
remember for the All-Stars a few years ago, they actually did get rid of the center designation and they just went with forwards.
Yeah. So
So.
I mean, that was another reason why I didn't make high school basketball because I, my mom's like, you play pretty good. I see you with your friends. I'm like, yeah, that's with my friends. We don't have rules. We don't have positions.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I don't know what I'm talking about. That's why I'm not playing. You gotta stand here and you can't stand here for too long, Can't smack a guy's
Yeah, it's a
hand when
little
he's
different when you're
shooting.
out with your friends. Yeah, you can shoot the 20-footer, and then you do that in high school, and they're screaming at you because you shot the 20-footer. It's like, but I was open. So,
Yeah.
no, you're a forward. You're supposed to be down here, but I can make this shot. It doesn't matter. This is where you
Yeah.
play. So, but yeah, I saw on a side note that the Morris twins, who are Marcus and Markieff, were found not guilty of an aggravated assault that they were charged with back in 2015. I believe they were members of the Phoenix Suns at the time. I think they've both kind of headed their separate ways. It looks like one is a Wizard now. Well, one is still with the Wizards and one is on the Celtics actually. So
Well, good for them.
they have so they beat the rap there. Again, when you have those high price lawyers, you can do those kind of things. But
Yeah,
Dan,
well,
I know we
bouncing before.
delved in.
Wait, before you move on, I
Uh-oh.
just have to make one more comment about the All-Star, who picks, who and how it all works out. It'll be kind of fun and this season, but it's going to be really cool next season when we have Lonzo Ball and LiAngelo. I thought his name was LiGello. It's LiAngelo. They just call him Jello for short. When we have Lonzo and Jello picking against each other. Now that's when it's going to be fun.
Yeah, we may have to wait for that because Jello isn't very good according to all the stuff I've heard. So I don't think he's going to be picking. We got, and that's the one I wanted to bring up. The big story, of course, is LeVar pulled. Which one is it? What's the youngest one now?
LaMelo.
LaMichael, LaMarcus, LaMelo. Yeah,
LaMelo.
they They, yeah, he yanked him out of school as a junior because he didn't like the basketball coach. So he is going to homeschool him and allow him to just practice basketball. I don't know about this, Dan. I don't know if I want LeVar Ball schooling anybody because that's just kind of frightening. Hopefully his wife takes care of that. I don't know. Now, do you think this hurts his draft stock?
I don't know. I think with the success of Lonzo, and then, like we thought, we'll see how Jello does this upcoming season at UCLA, which I just learned their the UCLA team name, and I forgot it, but I was kind of surprised. I thought it'd be something cooler. I don't think it'll hurt him that bad. It's been kind of proven with LeVar's way of doing things that, you can make the kid into something. As far as the schooling goes, I'm sure, well, no, I was going to say, I'm sure he'll have some tutors, but at the same token,
No.
LeVar, yeah, he's got a stronghold on everything. So, but I will say from
Yeah.
watching the show, he does care and care about his family. So I don't think he'll steer him in the wrong direction, but you never know what's going to happen. Hopefully, he is the
Yeah.
best out of the three, and he can make it into the what do we call it? The association. There we go.
Yeah. You know, the frightening thing, Dan, is the kid was driving a brand new Lamborghini to high school.
Yeah, that was his
So
birthday present.
that was just scary on top of it. The interesting thing here with this is,
It's
you know, if
California.
he doesn't, well, no, but if he doesn't graduate from an accredited high school, he won't be allowed to attend college. So, you know, I know he's supposed to be the next one to go to UCLA. Look for that not to happen. Though I don't expect him to go anywhere to play college. I would be shocked. He probably should go overseas and play a year to get that year out of the way, but I don't know if they would do that with him. You know, I don't know if LeVar would let go like that or actually
Well,
make the move over. But
I mean,
they need to do something to help it better.
yeah, I mean, well, I guess in the game of the game of the association, going to college really isn't about going to get an education. And I don't know UCLA's rules and qualifications, but I'm sure the Ball family has looked into homeschooling. Or I'm sorry, the proper homeschooling accreditations that would allow him to get into UCLA. I'm sure it's just a matter of was SAT scores or whatever those, I forgot the stupid standardized tests you got to take that prove nothing to get into college. It's just that you could take a test. I'm sure they've kind of looked into that, but at the same token, like I said, what we've learned about college and the NBA is they don't go to college to go to school or get an education. They go to college to go to the NBA. And in the grand scheme of things, when you're 19 years old, and if you can get the contract, I don't remember what Lonzo's is off the top of my head. Even if he plays only 5 years in the NBA and kind of busts out, just, and I'm not throwing that out there, he'll have enough money to go back to school. So, and at 25 years old, that's not a horrible thing. Even 30, because I forget the age limit on NBA players. I know it's not far past 30. So, it's not all that negative of a thing, but I'm kind of leaning towards what you're saying for the simple fact that LeVar's really putting it all into Melo. Yes, he did get the black Lamborghini for his birthday, but the other thing he got for his birthday was to become the only kid in high school, which I don't know how the season works. That would be wearing his own signature Big Baller brand shoe. So, and we both know how the NCAA works, and I highly doubt he would be allowed to wear those shoes. And in the end, for UCLA or for any college in the College Basketball Association or NCAA. So, you know, with it being the baby of the family, I mean, I think it kind of leans toward what you're saying. And not only do they go overseas, but, you know, daddy and mommy go with too. You know?
Yeah, 'cause, you know, I mean, 'cause obviously it would, you know, it would be a good experience and it would improve his skills. You know, he would be allowed to play against professionals, and it would just be for that year. You know, it wouldn't be for, you know, any length of time. You know, and I'm sure any team would love to sign him for just that year, just for the attraction he's going to be. You know, he
Yeah.
could even go to the Chinese Basketball League if he wanted to and play. I think they play about 30 games. You know, that would be huge for him. I'm sure he would be a massive draw over there. But you know, it's gonna be interesting to see how they, you know, how they handle him, and you know, if this hurts his game or his appeal, you know, to NBA teams, because you know, obviously so far, you know, LeVar hasn't been any type of issue. I think when it comes to the NBA teams, they just kind of laugh him off because he doesn't have any real power. Where, you know, in high school, he could be a big deal. Remember, he wanted to coach the team. You know, that was part
Yeah.
of his complaint, was he wanted whoever the coach is gone, and he wanted to take over. So, you know, I'm sure that's part of the motivation for pulling his kid out. But yeah, I just. You know, I'm you know, in any scenario like this, you got to worry about the kid. And you know,
Yeah.
that's the main concern here, is this kid's a little, I think we're going to go with cocky on how to describe him, as just kind of the nice way of, you know, saying it. So, you know, hopefully it doesn't lead him down a bad road and there's no issues or anything. But
Yeah.
yeah, I think there's a little bit of, you know, a little bit of concern on how this is going to work out. So.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, if you actually watch the show, and obviously cameras can portray, you know, editing can portray people the way they want them to be portrayed, but you kind of get the sense that Lonzo and Jello really have good heads on their shoulders. Where, you know, maybe Melo needs to be kept close to home to rein him in.
Yeah, that is a possibility. Or like you said, you know, maybe mommy and daddy need to go with, you know, or at least one of them need to go, just
Yeah. Well,
so,
you know, I mean,
you know, things are, you know, okay.
to kind of equate it to, you know, another professional, right here in our hometown, Chicago, with the Blackhawks, not, I was gonna say Jonathan, Patrick Kane. He was signed, was it, he was playing at 19 years old. And I mean, they won that first Stanley Cup, and he was still born in the city with his parents.
Yeah. All right, the music means that Dan and I are taking off, but hey, we're gonna come back tomorrow to do this all again. So meet us here at 5:30. We'll take it from there. You know the deal while we're gone. Get over to sportstimeradio.com, look for the new blog tomorrow, follow the link over to the Facebook page, and give that a like, please. Don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well, so check us out there. As always, we appreciate you listening live. It's cool that you come on and do that with us, but don't forget, you can find the podcast anytime you want at tunein.com.